We, as Americans, have the capacity now, as we've had in the past, to do whatever needs to be done to preserve this last and greatest bastion of freedom. Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
Welcome to another episode of the Prosperity Podcast, presented by Americans for Prosperity, the nation's largest grassroots advocate for free markets. You can subscribe to the Prosperity Podcast on iTunes and find all of our episodes on AmericansForProsperity.org. I am your host, Ed Dean. Welcome to another edition of Prosperity Podcast. I am your host, Ed Dean. This week, we're going to be talking with Mary Kate Hopkins, the Director of Federal Affairs at Americans for Prosperity, to talk about the long-anticipated blueprint for tax reform that just came out this week and the highlights that we will focus today on this edition of Prosperity Podcast. Welcome to another edition of Prosperity Podcast. I am your host, Ed Dean. This is an issue that's been talked about for months that Donald Trump said he was going to do with a Republican Congress. Some people thought it might have been a little too long, but it has come around now. As many of you know, the blueprint for tax reform came out on Wednesday, and the remedy to fix America's broken tax code. We are going to get into this story with Mary Kate Hopkins. She is the Director of Federal Affairs at Americans for Prosperity, where she directs the federal policy team. Some of the key points here, Mary Kate, underneath this tax code, the standard deduction is almost doubled. They want to do away with the marriage penalty tax, the top income marginal rate from 39.6 down to 35. They now want to have three new tax rates of 12, 25, and 35. The alternative minimum tax, getting rid of the estate tax. What are some of the highlights out there that you think is going to be really talked about over the next several days here, Mary Kate?
Sure, absolutely. I think that the number one thing you're going to hear is that this is relief for everyone. Like you mentioned, we're doubling the standard deduction. That's huge. That's going to have a huge impact on lower and middle income families. Tax liabilities. They're also lowering the number of tax brackets, which leads to simplicity in the filing system. One thing you didn't mention is that they're getting rid of most, if not all, of the deductions, loopholes, credits, everything that makes our tax code so complicated, such that the average American family will be able to file their taxes on a postcard. Just imagine that, not having to pay an accountant or a lawyer to make sure you're not messing up your taxes, because it will really be that simple.
Mary Kate, when most people think of their taxes, they think of what tax bracket they are in or the marginal rate that they pay. Why is it important for the number of brackets to be reduced? There are seven right now, but now they're looking to be reduced to three.
Sure. It really just goes to the simplicity issue. One of the reasons our tax code is so complicated and why people can't really predict what they're going to owe is because you pay a different tax rate on various levels of your own income. So you don't, even if you're in the 25% tax rate bracket, that's not your actual overall tax rate because you're paying a lower rate on lower amounts of income as it goes up. Lowering that number to three and really simplifying the process for filing is going to give people a better idea of, how much they're actually going to owe and what they're really paying.
When we talk about taxes, one way taxes for individuals get complicated is in all the deductions. How would doubling the standard deduction make taxes easier, Mary Kate, for middle-income families, and what would be the financial impact?
So first and foremost, it lowers tax liability for middle and lower income families and individuals. That it essentially creates a zero tax bracket where there's a much higher threshold now for money that for the amount of income you can make before you start getting taxed. The whole idea behind that being that everyone should have a certain amount of income that isn't taxable because they need to use that for everyday needs like housing and food and clothing, other necessary supplies. So there's that aspect. And then there's the simplicity aspect as well. Right now, really only about 30% of Americans actually itemize their deductions and utilize that complicated code that makes everything so confusing. But with the doubling of the standard deduction, they're going to bring that down to, you know, 5%-ish. About 95% of Americans will be able to file on a postcard and not itemize their deductions. They'll just take the standard deduction, they'll know what they owe, and then their process is over.
Mary Kate, you know, over the summertime, Americans for Prosperity, their messaging, of course, with the economy was called unrigging the economy. Now they're talking about unrigging the tax code when it comes to this tax reform. How does this blueprint do in regards to leveling the playing field and getting rid of some of the loopholes and deductions for, let's say, the well-connected?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll talk about the corporate side of things to answer this question. You know, businesses across the country right now are paying incredibly different actual tax rates, because those businesses that are wealthy and well-connected and can afford to pay lobbyists here in D.C. Are getting those special credits, the special deductions that lower their overall rate at the expense of everyone else. So you've got mom and pop on Main Street paying the 35% sticker rate of the corporate tax rate, while bigger businesses that pay their lobbyists and tax accountants to take advantage of every single loophole they can possibly get are paying a much lower rate. And we just think that's not fair. That doesn't help the American economy get ahead, and it keeps us in an uncompetitive state. And so we are advocating for, and the framework that was released yesterday advocates for, the elimination of most of the any credits and deductions that are available, especially those that benefit, you know, a particular industry, a particular activity, or you know, a handful of businesses.
One of the largest reasons for tax reform was reducing the corporate tax rate to make America more competitive with other countries. Now it was originally talking about 35 to 15, but some would say 35 to 20 is still a win-win. When we talk about this, in this sense, how does the blueprint fare on that issue?
Oh, it fares very well. I mean, you know, 15% would have been great, but 20% is wonderful compared to what we have. I mean, right now we have the highest tax rate on businesses in the industrialized world. And it's just crushing American businesses. And by crushing, I mean forcing them to move overseas often, or to close their doors if they don't have the capacity to move overseas. And so getting that number, the most important part of the corporate tax reform is getting that number below the global average, which is 22.5%. So if we're sitting at 20, that makes us a great option for businesses, not only new American businesses to open, but also, you know, companies from around the world start looking at us as a place to locate, which has never been the case really with this 35% rate.
Mary Kate, is there anything else important, as they call this the blueprint, that you think our listeners need to know about that may not be focused by other media groups out there talking about this tax reform issue?
Sure. I think the most important thing from my perspective is for when people start looking at this plan and when they start seeing the details, to really look at it holistically. You know, for example, I think we've already seen a lot of people coming out talking about how, you know, the 12% rate is unfair to people who were formerly in the 10% bracket. You know, but when you look at how that would actually function within the new system with that doubled standard deduction, those people who were in the 10% bracket and would be moved up to a 12 are actually paying less in taxes, because they get to deduct far more money from their taxable income. So again, it's, you know, you look at it, and I think everyone's going to start clinging to little details, especially once the individual deductions start coming out in terms of what's on the chopping block. And everyone's going to start nitpicking and saying, like, well, what, you know, where's my special interest? Where's my credit going? But when you look at the overall rate drops, when you look at the benefits to the economy, this is a win for every American, and that really shouldn't get lost in the details.
What are the next steps for tax reform here? What can American workers expect to see in their paychecks?
Sure. Well, so the next immediate step is for Congress to pass a budget resolution, which will be the vehicle for tax reform. They have to pass that budget for 2018 before they can move on to writing tax reform legislation. They need to deal with that in the short term. That needs to be done in the next few weeks. And then the committees of jurisdiction will start writing the tax legislation. Hopefully, I mean, the president is still saying, and we're still very hopeful that this will be pushed across the finish line by December of this year, meaning that starting January 1, we will be under a new tax regime with lower rates and a simpler system, meaning that workers and American families have more take-home pay. And we know that from the past. We've looked at AFP, we've looked at a number of tax cuts that have taken place under Kennedy, Reagan, and Bush, for example. And after each one of those tax cuts, American families got a pay boost, usually upwards of $2,500 in their take-home pay.
Mary Kate, let's talk about a couple of other things that are not involved here that I've heard people say, especially from groups that focus on this, that think alike-minded, like Americans for Prosperity. Let's go back in the 1990s. You saw in 1997, Bill Clinton enacted, along with the Republican Congress, of a capital gains tax cut from 28 to 20%. The economy ballooned big time. You saw this underneath W. You saw a tax cut under dividends. You also saw many write-offs out there. Some people felt there might have been a little disappointment that none of these investment income taxes, like tax cuts on dividends or tax cuts on capital gains, were involved in this plan.
Yes, I have heard a couple of questions about that. And it was interesting because both capital gains and dividends were mentioned in the earlier House blueprint that we saw last year and in the original April White House blueprint. So I would say just keep looking for more details as they come out. This is a framework. These are just guideposts for the committees to use when they're writing the legislation. I'm pretty confident that those things are going to be addressed in the ultimate legislation, even though they weren't mentioned in the framework yesterday.
Mary Kate, before I let you go, it's always interesting people talk about why did it take so long? But there's one of the things that's been talked about out there. I was listening to Louisiana Senator Kennedy, who said that, hey, listen, one of the and this has been a word that's been going around called retroactive. What are the chances that this tax cut may go and become retroactive?
Well, I can't put a percentage on it right now. I know it is part of the discussion whether or not it would be retroactive. You know, I think at the very least we have got to get this done by January 1 so that it affects next year. But I do know that that's something that is on the table as an option. I will say at this point, I think that we've gotten a lot of questions as to why it's taken so long, and it has been a really frustrating road to get to this point. But as members of the administration and leaders in Congress are saying, this is really the culmination of all of the hard work. This is the moment where we kind of start a faster trajectory. They had to get this alignment, this level of agreement between the House, Senate, and administration on the front end before they started drafting, such that once they have a bill, things can start moving very quickly.
Mary Kay, before I let you go one more time, you have worked as a policy advisor with Freedom Partners. You focus a lot on crony capitalism and corporate welfare. If you had to look at this as you cover federal policy as a director of federal affairs, when you look at the highlights of cutting the corporate tax rate from 35 to 20, does this have, as they say in the financial world, there's a short-term, mid-term, and long-term, does this just have a short-term boost, or does this have a mid-range or long-term boost to the economy by cutting the corporate tax rate from 35 to 20?
This is absolutely a long-term boost. You know, I think we're going to see some really rapid growth in the near term as a result of, like, people being very excited about the potential for investment and the business community basically being excited that they're finally, unchained essentially from this high corporate tax rate. So I think we will see that initial boost, but this is the best guarantee to long-term economic success, is really unleashing our opportunity by unleashing these businesses and letting them kind of do the best that they can without being overly burdened by a tax code.
We've been talking with Mary Kate Hopkins, who is the Director of Federal Affairs at Americans for Prosperity. You know, Mary Kate, this is a great issue, and I know you guys are going to keep us informed of what's going on. It was good to talk to you today. Thank you for listening to another episode of the Prosperity Podcast. If you want to learn more about these issues and get involved in the fight for freedom, go to AmericansForProsperity.org. That's AmericansForProsperity.org. I have been your host, Ed Dean.